Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, January 4th, 2016. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends into this new year. And this past weekend, I heard a Moody special in partnership with the Salem Radio Network News, highlighting the top stories of 2015, and thought of the ways we can learn from this history, pray more specifically, and enter into this new year, relying on God's leading and attentive to his prodding and plans, we can make this a better year. So today and tomorrow, you'll hear the special hosted by Keith Peters, and may we learn from the past and use the Lord's wisdom for the future.
Salem Radio Network News, in cooperation with Moody Radio, presents 2015, the Year in Review. It's a look back at some of the top stories of the past 12 months.
As important, if not more important, is are there others, and are they based in the U.S.? Are they outside the U.S.? We don't know the answers.
Prime Minister Netanyahu's visit 2 weeks before his own election, right in the midst of our negotiations, I just don't think it's appropriate.
So in the days and weeks ahead, let us not close the doors that Senator Pinckney gave his life for us to open them.
Join us now for 2015, the Year in Review. Here's your host, Keith Peters.
Perhaps the biggest news story of the year was the continued spread of terrorism throughout the world. From the Middle East to Africa to Europe to the United States, the year was bookended by terrorist attacks aimed at what are called soft targets. Attackers aiming their fury at people trying to go about their daily lives in normal pursuits of things like work, eating and conversing at restaurants, and enjoying recreation time. In Paris, between January 7th and 9th, 2015, Islamic extremists attacked the newspaper office of the satire magazine Charlie Hebdo and a kosher supermarket, killing 17 people and wounding 22 others. The magazine had been publishing caricatures of Muhammad, which is forbidden by Muslim law. The market was simply a Jewish target. Some characterized the attacks as an attempt to silence Western ideals such as freedom of speech and thought. Jean-Baptiste Richard, a Parisian, made it a point to buy a new copy of the Charlie Hebdo magazine immediately after the attacks.
I haven't bought it for a very long time, but I know that the work is very important for the freedom of speech, and that's the reason why I wanted to buy it.
Another man in line to buy a copy of Charlie Hebdo said it was important for him to be there as well.
A friend of a friend was killed in the attacks. That's why I'm here, to show solidarity for freedom, and to show the terrorists that we won't give in.
Terrorist attacks were commonplace in the Middle East. In places like Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, where terror groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda moved through the region, destroying whole towns, slaughtering innocents, and sending hundreds of thousands of people in search of refuge. Terrorists made their next giant strike, however, once again in Paris. This time, on November 13th, 2015, a carefully planned multi-pronged attack was executed at several restaurants, a stadium, and a concert hall. 130 people were killed and at least 368 people injured. 89 alone were killed at the Bataclan Theater, where a concert by the American rock band Eagles of Death Metal was going on. Laurent Sevien told Sky News he knew straight away that a lot of people had been killed.
When I heard about the first news that it was only 10, 15 people killed, I told everybody, you don't even realize what's happening inside, because I heard about the people going out. And they told me it's a slaughter inside, they're shooting everybody inside. I knew it from the beginning because I was very close.
The Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the attacks, saying they were in response to French airstrikes on ISIS targets in Syria and Iraq. French President François Hollande declared a state of emergency in the country for at least 3 months. He also vowed to fight and destroy terrorism. All of this has dramatically affected Jennifer Lee, who is an American who lives in Paris.
You can't help but feel more nervous, but at the same time, it's like you have to be more alert and just stay vigilant. And it's a shame because it's such a great city, and it's really disheartening.
Salem Radio Network News Analyst retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis has some thoughts on these two attacks, which really set the tone for the year 2015.
Charlie Hebdo was, they targeted a magazine, obviously, that, you know, depicted the Prophet Muhammad in a less than glamorous way and alienated a lot of Islamists. And, of course, then it went after the Jews, which are often associated with anti-Islamist viewpoints. But it was narrowly focused on those two groups. The November 13th event was far more significant because it indiscriminately killed 130 people from all walks of life. And so it really is like two bookends, one in which it exclusively went after two small groups. And at the end of the year, you went after all of Parisians. So it's really a revulsive reaction that we're beginning to see across Europe, just, not just Paris.
And indeed, terrorists were not done with their mayhem. The next attack took place in the United States, in California. On December 2, 2015, employees at the San Bernardino Inland Regional Center sat down to enjoy a Christmas holiday party. They weren't to enjoy it for very long. Two terrorists, one of them a fellow employee, broke into the party and began shooting people indiscriminately. When it was all over, 14 innocent people were dead and 22 were wounded. The two terrorists, a husband and wife, escaped. The husband and employee was identified as Syed Farouk, an American-born citizen of Pakistani origin. His wife, identified as Pakistani immigrant Tashfeen Malik, had come to the U.S. on a fiancé visa. She pledged allegiance to ISIS on a Facebook posting right at the time of the attack. Both of them were eventually killed in a shootout with San Bernardino police. David Bowditch of the FBI told reporters they were looking at the attack as an act of terrorism.
We are continuing to go down the path of what was the motivation for this attack, because that will tell us a lot. As important, if not more important, is are there others? And are they based in the U.S.? Are they outside the U.S.? We don't know the answers.
One answer was certain, however. Lives were irrevocably altered. Danny Podwis was a friend of one of the victims, Yvette Velasco, and says on the day of the shootings, she was hoping Yvette had survived the attack.
I was just praying that it wasn't going to be her. I heard the description come out. I knew that she hadn't been home yet, but her family was worried. I was just really praying that she was with the other survivors, maybe, just not able to get to a phone or able to call home.
In an address to the nation about the San Bernardino murders, President Obama said it's clear the two killers had gone down the dark path of radicalization.
They had stockpiled assault weapons, ammunition, and pipe bombs. So this was an act of terrorism designed to kill innocent people.
Some were not satisfied at Mr. Obama's characterization of the attack, however.
Make no mistake, this was not workplace violence. It was an act of terrorism. And these occurrences are happening too frequently. I think the tentacles of ISIS now are not only in Europe, but also in the United States of America.
That's House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul on Fox News Sunday. Three major terror attacks in 1 year. Two in France, one in the United States. After 2015, both Europeans and Americans became more wary about their surroundings, and the slogan, "If you see something, say something," took on a new and much more imperative meaning in people's daily lives.
Our country cannot be the victim of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad.
And with that remark, presidential candidate Donald Trump called for a ban on Muslims coming into the United States. That brought a fiery reaction from the new Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
This is not conservatism. What was proposed yesterday is not what this party stands for. And more importantly, it's not what this country stands for.
But Trump has struck a chord with voters, according to polls across the country. In spite of making statements that Washington Beltway pundits said repeatedly would send his poll numbers plummeting on issues like terrorism or illegal immigration, Trump has kept his ratings high, thoroughly upending the Republican presidential nomination process that had been thought by many to be in the hands of Jeb Bush.
He knows what he's saying. He's smart. He's playing you guys like a fiddle, the press, by saying outrageous things and garnering attention. That's his strategy, is to dominate the news.
That's Jeb Bush on CBS's Face the Nation. But Bush continues to struggle in the polls behind other such candidates as Dr. Ben Carson.
You have a war on women, race wars, income wars, age wars, religious wars. There's a war on virtually everything. Democrats hate Republicans. Republicans hate Democrats. Everybody wants to destroy people.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
I think on our side, we have had a civil discussion based on issues, based on substance, based on a positive vision for this country. And I think it is a stark contrast to the Democratic side of the ledger.
Florida Senator and former Bush protege Marco Rubio.
I was recently, maybe an hour ago, by a radio host asked, if you were to be able to ask Hillary Clinton one question, what would it be? And I would say this. Name me one part of the world where we are safer today than we were before Barack Obama took over as president.
And former Hewlett-Packard head Carly Fiorina.
Our president, against all evidence, declared ISIS contained and took a victory lap. ISIS is not a JV team, Mr. President. They are not contained. They are at our shores, and they measure their victory in body count.
Other candidates that have entered the race but are placing in the single digits are Mike Huckabee, George Pataki, Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Rand Paul, former Senator Rick Santorum, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. They'll be facing off against likely Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton, who is involved in a nomination race with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley.
You're listening to 2015, the year in review, when we come back.
What's striking about those videos is the casual nature with which it is discussed how you are going to kill and dissect a human fetus.
That and more when 2015, the year in review, returns.
You're listening to a Moody special in cooperation with the Salem Radio Network News, broken into four parts. One and two aired today, and tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you hear parts three and four. Thanks for listening to today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and I certainly hope your 2016 is off to a great start. Now back to our special titled 2015 Year in Review.
We're back with 2015, the Year in Review. Here again is Keith Peters.
It is a very important story, but in other than the Christian media, it has been largely ignored. And as a result, it may be the most underreported story of the year 2015 because of the people involved. Christians facing continuing persecution and death in the Middle East. The rapidly dwindling minority group has faced terror for many years in places like Iraq and Syria, places once known as cradles of Christian civilization. AP correspondent Nicole Winfield reports from Rome that Christians in Syria and Iraq have faced persecution head-on in the past year especially, but Christians across the region have been leaving in huge numbers over recent decades.
The church has been denouncing the attacks against Christians by the Islamic State group. Christians have been forced out of their traditional homes where Christians have lived for centuries. But across the Middle East for decades now, the Christian presence has been dwindling as a result of poverty, discrimination. They would rather try to find opportunity elsewhere.
GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush says fleeing Christians often face persecution from other refugees.
You can't be put in refugee camps because the danger there for Christians is equally bad. And so I have said that we ought to have a special focus on Iraqi and Syrian Christians that are, but for, you know, God's grace, are going to be wiped out.
That brought objections from President Obama, who says it is wrong to focus U.S. help for refugees on Christians and not Muslims fleeing persecution.
That's shameful. That's not American. That's not who we are. We don't have religious tests to our compassion.
But GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush says there's nothing un-American about giving special consideration to refugees suffering religious persecution.
The whole law as it relates to screening refugees requires screening for religious purposes.
And New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith warns Christians who flee the Islamic State group can still face persecution and death, even after they've reached so-called safe havens.
Vulnerable religious minorities fear taking shelter in the camps of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees because of religiously motivated violence and intimidation inside the camps.
Salem Radio Network military analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, has a dire prediction for Christians in the Middle East.
In my book, Never Submit, I say we're only a couple of years from the total genocide of Christians, and I think that will continue. I don't see us doing anything meaningful.
The Christian missionary group Open Doors estimates 100 million Christians worldwide face persecution, particularly in Middle Eastern countries such as Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. At Easter, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, the leader of the Anglican Church, spoke of Christian martyrs. He said Christians were living under persecution in almost half of the 38 Anglican provinces worldwide, and he reiterated, they fear for their lives every day. The stories hit abortion provider Planned Parenthood and the mainstream news media like a crushing thunderbolt. Surreptitiously recorded videos by an Irvine, California-based group called the Center for Medical Progress show Planned Parenthood officials across the country discussing the use of body parts from aborted babies for profit. New York Democratic Congressman John Conyers claimed the undercover videos were deceptively edited to smear Planned Parenthood.
The real purpose of the videos is to undermine one of the nation's leading providers of high-quality health care for women.
But the Daily Caller reported that Planned Parenthood hired Fusion GPS, a Democratic opposition research firm, to perform a forensic analysis of the videos in an apparent effort to back up its claim they were highly edited. The analysts found evidence of some edits, such as cuts or skips in the footage, but little to suggest the Center for Medical Progress tampered with the footage in any meaningful way, and zero evidence of audio manipulation. During a campaign stop in Iowa, GOP presidential candidate Carly Fiorina says she was shocked at the behavior of Planned Parenthood officials in the undercover videos.
You can only be horrified when you see employees picking over a petri dish for body parts while they say, "Look, it's a baby." There is no excuse. Planned Parenthood must be defunded.
Federal law prohibits the commercial sale of fetal tissue, but allows not-for-profit donation if the woman consenting to the abortion agrees. Planned Parenthood said any payments made to them were to reimburse costs. But the videos showed a dark underside to the abortion provider. Maryland Congressman Andy Harris says that as a doctor, he is appalled by the undercover videos of Planned Parenthood officials.
What's striking about those videos is the casual nature with which it is discussed how you are going to kill and dissect a human fetus.
Pro-life advocate Dana Alburo says she came out to a protest against Planned Parenthood to bring attention not just to the videos, but to the practice of abortion itself.
I used to be on the other side of the fence, but you know, now my eyes are open, and I see that, you know, I truly believe that life starts from conception to death, and this is murder.
After several releases of the videos across the country, Planned Parenthood officials sued to block the videos in California, where the Center for Medical Progress is located. The mainstream media began to ignore subsequent release of more videos. Republicans sought to attach riders to spending bills, cutting off funding to Planned Parenthood, which ran into immediate Democratic opposition, and the controversy slowly disappeared from public view by the end of the year. It was a year of senseless tragedy for the African-American Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. On June 17, 2015, a young white supremacist named Dylan Roof came into the church's Wednesday night prayer meeting. The prayer group welcomed him warmly and prayed with him. Then, he took out a gun and systematically shot nine of those prayer group members to death. A tenth victim was shot but survived. One of those killed was the pastor, a South Carolina state senator, Clementa Pinckney. Roof later told investigators that he committed the crimes in the hope of igniting a race war in the United States. But then, a strange thing happened. The church and its members came out and extended Roof forgiveness for his deadly acts and provided a powerful Christian message of compassion and forgiveness for the nation and the world. South Carolina State Senator Gerald Malloy told followers at Pastor Pinckney's funeral, "There is a crucial lesson to learn in the openness of spirit Pinckney showed in his final hours.
To open his doors to someone who he did not know, who he did not understand, and who did not look like him. So in the days and weeks ahead, let us not close the doors that Senator Pinckney gave his life for us to open.
Later, AME Bishop John Richard Bryant said the church where 9 people were slain in Charleston, South Carolina, has promoted healing and reconciliation.
Mother Emanuel demonstrated the Christian gospel better than any theologian in any seminary.
Roof reportedly told investigators that he almost didn't go through with the shooting because of the kindness that had been extended to him from Emanuel AME members. Officials have announced that Roof will face trial on murder charges in 2016, which could result in his being put to death. He also faces federal hate crime charges. The murders also gave birth to a movement to remove the Confederate battle flag from state and national flagpoles. Stores such as Walmart, Sears, Amazon, and eBay also announced that they would no longer sell merchandise with the Confederate battle flag on it. The Supreme Court's ruling on homosexual marriage shocked America's evangelical community, and the reverberations were felt throughout the country. Salem Radio Network News correspondent Michael Harrington takes a closer look at the reaction and other stories that were of special interest to the faith community in 2015.
SRN News legal analyst Matt Staver sums up the feelings of many Christians in the wake of a decision that effectively legalized same-sex unions in all 50 states.
This 5-4 opinion on June 26 regarding marriage really puts the judiciary on trial and, frankly, the future of the Republic of America.
While making same-sex marriage the law of the land was a shock, Staver has even greater fears about what the ruling will mean for the future of religious freedom.
Within 2 months of the decision, you have one person, Kim Davis, who spends 6 days in jail because of her religious convictions and faith. But she's not going to be the last one. This will unleash a direct assault against religious freedom of unprecedented proportions. And it's not going to just affect the clerks that are issuing marriage licenses. It affects the baker. It affects the florist, the photographer, the pastor, the churches.
Staver says evangelicals may one day have to turn to civil disobedience to defend their liberties. In November, 3 people were gunned down at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. Robert Lewis Deer faces 179 felony charges. 2015 saw some giants of the faith community pass away, including one of its mightiest voices, Andre Crouch, whose gospel songs crossed over onto the mainstream music charts for over 50 years, went on to glory at the age of 72. He wrote his first song when he was just 14, and over the course of his career, his tunes were covered by Elvis Presley and Paul Simon. One of the founding fathers of the pro-life movement also passed away. Dr. John Wilkie was 89 years old. An obstetrician, Wilkie and his wife Barbara fought abortion from the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision on, and he eventually served as the president of the National Right to Life Committee. A more controversial figure, Dr. Robert Schuller, died at the age of 88. The founder of the Crystal Cathedral became one of America's most prominent clergymen, though many conservative Christians had problems with his doctrine. In retirement, Schuller watched as his family members lost the California church to bankruptcy. The Presbyterian Church USA took the final step in what had been several years in the making over the summer, officially approving same-sex marriage. The decision prompted even more congregations to quit the denomination, which had already lost scores of them over questions of homosexuality and biblical authority. Pope Francis made his first visit to the U.S. in September, delivering a speech to a joint session of Congress, the first time any pontiff has ever addressed the American legislature. California became the 4th state to legalize assisted suicide over the protests of clergymen, pro-lifers, and advocates for the disabled. It joins Oregon, Washington, and Vermont. In a sharp defeat for the homosexual lobby and the budding transgender movement, the city of Houston repealed a bathroom bill at referendum in November. More than 60% of city residents voted against the measure, which would have let men claiming to be women use women's bathrooms and locker room facilities. The Boy Scouts of America sparked further controversy in 2015 by deciding to allow open homosexuals to serve as adult leaders. The organization suffered many defections a year ago when it announced it would accept openly homosexual scouts. A growing number of churches and other organizations that used to host Boy Scout troops have quit doing so. And just before the end of 2015, the Supreme Court decided to consider the constitutionality of a Texas law that requires abortion clinics to meet higher safety standards. If the justices knock that law down in 2016, it could severely hamper the ability of states to control and limit abortion. Michael Harrington reporting.
The nation's urban areas remained tense as clashes between local police and members of the black community became an important part of this year's news cycle. During the year 2015, videos of events became part of the testimony, sometimes contradicting official reporting of events. Perhaps the most dramatic example was a shooting death that took place in North Charleston, South Carolina. On April 4, 2015, a black man, Walter Scott, was stopped by a white police officer, Michael Slager, for a broken taillight. After what seemed to be a routine traffic stop, Scott suddenly bolted from the car, with Officer Slager following in pursuit. Slager would later claim he tasered Scott, but that Scott kept running. A video from a bystander, however, surfaced, showing Scott running away from Officer Slager, and Slager shooting him in the back. It was a stunning video that galvanized the nation. Slager was subsequently fired by the North Charleston, South Carolina Police Department and immediately arrested. Prosecutor Scarlett Wilson says Slager faces 30 years to life in prison if convicted.
We're going to be focused on getting all admissible evidence before the judge and jury pursuing this case vigorously.
Slager remains jailed without bond. But that wasn't the only video of violence between police and young African Americans that surfaced. Just before the end of the year, Chicago police released a video that had been suppressed since 2014, showing a 17-year-old African-American teenager named Laquan McDonald being shot by Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke 16 times, killing him. Toxicology reports showed McDonald had traces of PCP in his blood. The release of that video, recorded by a police dash camera, caused a frenzy. Van Dyke was charged with first-degree murder and could face from 20 years to life in prison if convicted. It was yet another example of 2015 being a troubled year in the United States for race relations.
You're listening to 2015, the year in review. After a break,
to succeed in our mission of national defense, we cannot afford to cut ourselves off from half the country's talents and skills. We have to take full advantage of every individual who can meet our standards.
2015, the year in review, returns in a moment.
Well, that return in a moment will actually be tomorrow at the same time during Mark and Friends, the Tuesday edition, as we'll hear parts 3 and 4 of 2015, a year in review. May we utilize the wisdom the Lord's given us to make this 2016 a better year, involving Him in all the details of our life, our work, our hobbies, and the various things we do and say and think. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, and once tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends is broadcast, you can always log on to our website and hear this 2015 year in review in its entirety at greatnewsradio.org. Click on the archived programs link. Well, as I open the program, let me close out with the same verse out of Proverbs chapter 22, 3 and 4. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord brings wealth and honor and life. May we learn from last year's mistakes and humbly seek the Lord in all things, that He may direct our paths and bring about His blessing, His orchestration of events, and His leading in our lives, so we can walk faithfully demonstrating the good news message of Jesus to all we come in contact with. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.